Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 3. And this chapter shows us that if we keep the Lord's commandments, that we can be attacked by any enemy. It doesn't make any difference who or what. We have the victory if we're keeping the commandments, if we're in Jesus, and if Jesus is in us. And the other day I stated that we're the minority in the world, but really, spiritually speaking, we are the majority because God is with us, and if he be with us, it wouldn't make any difference if the whole world, and even if there were other worlds full of people, no, not all of them put together could be against us. And people, when they're attacked, they shouldn't panic at all, because though 10,000 shall compass around and about me, I shall not fear, because the Lord is with me. This chapter talks about the Israelites are being attacked. By who? The king of Bashan?
Og, yes.
Og, the king of Bashan. And what we do is when we're attacked, Christians and the people of the Lord, they had a promise of the Lord. And we still do. If we're keeping God's commandments, when we're being attacked, you just call on the Lord, and the Lord will give us the victory. So there's a lot of people that are going to be going into the very bowels of the pits of hell because they're fearful and they don't believe God. That's what it means, the fearful and unbelieving. They fear Satan. But the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments so that we don't have to go to hell. And so we don't have to fear the enemy or the arrows that fly by night. That the Lord can open your spiritual eyes and you can see that the angels around and about you, the hosts of heaven, is more than the people here in this world, our enemies. Amen?
Amen.
So take heart, you know, and keep meditating on the Word of God so that you are not alarmed if you're ever attacked one of these days, and it should, you know, you might very well be, but act very calm. I know at one time there was around, on several occasions, 100 different sheriffs and federal agents and everything swarmed around me, and they were just really laughing and mocking and scoffing, and I just kept my mind on the Lord, and I just kept thinking, you know, I didn't even think about them. And they noticed the calm about me, you know. And they walked me into an elevator. There's actually 100 Los Angeles Sheriff Department people standing in the hallway as though I were some kind of a criminal or something. And I'm not a criminal. I can honestly say, not like Nixon, that I am not a crook. I'm not crooked. But they were there anyway, and then the IRS and the FBI and the BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, they're all there. And just to looking at me, you know, just to mean, don't you know? And then they shoved me into an elevator, and I started turning, you know, facing the front. They said, turn around, turn your back, face your face towards the back of the elevator. Don't be looking at us. And I was just going, praise the Lord, you know, and they started snickering. And I just looked over my shoulder, and I just, you know, then I didn't do it anymore because I knew they were just mocking. So I just didn't do it. And they just keep mocking and everything, and I was just calmly being there when they took me down to the federal building and started taking my fingerprints and everything, and one thing after the other. It's just a mocking thing. And when they picked me up over in Tampa, Florida, here they were playing the radio on my tape. I was on the radio there, and my tape was on the air. And one of the guys that was sitting next to him says, is that him? And the driver said, yeah, that's him. You know, like a growl in his voice. And he says, have you read his tracks? And he says, yeah, I got some in my... He says, well, here's some right here. They all carry my tracks. And Mr. Peeler, one of the last tracks that we did, stated that the government agents, he says, he's right at the FBI office with them. They're all reading my literature. Okay? So they couldn't get any satisfaction out of me for being fearful, and don't let them shake you either if they pick you up. Because, you know, if they're going to kill you, they're going to kill you anyway, so what's the point of being shook up about it? And if you know you're saved, you know you're going to be right in the kingdom of heaven in just the minute that they do it, so what's the big deal? The most they can do to you is kill the body, but they can't kill your soul. Amen?
Amen.
And so, oh, everybody looks so worried. Don't be fearful. and don't be unbelieving. Prepare for such days as that. Think about that. You know, if you just play games and just idly think that this life, all it is just a humdrum routine daily, and that nothing like that could happen. We're like a bunch of lambs, the Lord says, in a world loaded full of wolves. And we're among wolves. And, of course, the Lord says nothing is going to happen to us that's evil. Because if the Lord wants to use me as a testimony to show how brave someone can be when they're facing death, well, then great. Praise the Lord. Because I'll just have a smile on my face. Now, hopefully you'll be the same way if that ever happens. And because of the fact that I've already prepared my mind to do that, I guess it's never going to happen, okay? So don't look at me, so afraid. Don't be afraid for me. Fear for yourself. That's what Jesus told people. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm saved, he's saying. I'm God. I'm going to be in the kingdom of heaven forever. You better fear about yourself. Don't be so concerned about your mousy flesh. Because your flesh, the flesh profits nothing, okay? Amen?
Amen.
So we'll see how the Israelites fared in chapter 3 and here Deuteronomy. You'll see that God gave them the victory because these young'uns, or the people that were of the Lord back then, and Moses trying to teach these young ones that are going to go into the promised land, that when you keep the commandments of the Lord, God goes before you and fights every battle. And there's no way that these things shall rise up against you if you just live by the Spirit. But if you live outside of the Spirit, you're always worried about what's going to happen to you. Jesus knew that his time was not yet when his brothers tried to get him to go up to the feast of Tabernacles. He didn't do it. He says, I'm not going up there. He says, you people can come and go as you please. But because my time, I know when my time is, and I know that I'm of the Lord, but you don't know anything. Fortunately, later, some of his brothers, maybe all of them, got saved. But he went up to the feast in disguise later and then was found preaching the gospel and being a real strong testimony for the Lord in the temple. He was whipping those money changers out of there and those people that were making the house of God a place of merchandise. Amen?
Amen.
That was preaching the gospel. Because you don't just preach it, you do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Father, we ask that you teach us the lessons. We are more than they are. Because you're everywhere, Lord. And like you did, you wiped out Sennacherib when he was attacking the Chiar children. And 185,000 corpses lay dead on the ground. Because the one angel came in and smote them all. And of course they were not alarmed, so alarmed that they became paralyzed and didn't pray. What they did is they prayed to you. And in the morning, all the people that were attacking them, 185,000 corpses lay dead on the ground. And you're the same yesterday and the same today and forever. And you'll do that, but we've got to hold our composure. We have to trust you. We have to have trust that you are who you say you are and that you do what you say you will. And if we don't have faith, well, then we're not Christians. And if we're not Christians, we might as well go out and eat, drink, and be merry. Because we're not going to heaven anyway. And so people can try to protect their nothing flesh and then wind up dead day after tomorrow. And then what? We have to testify and witness a good report before the people of this world. Because you never know if we go boldly to prison or we go boldly to suffer persecution and have a smile on our face. Well, then the very people that are there persecuting us, that gives them an opportunity to get saved too, because they see that you really believe the Lord. So, Lord, give everybody that courage through these chapters, that every king was smitten, and how they went into battle and not even one person was slain. You promised it, Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul was told not to go to Jerusalem, but he went anyway, and, of course, his head got chopped off. Because people back then didn't know how to walk in the Spirit as much as we do today. And so you said, Father, that your people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And knowledge is increased to us today, and so we should know how to get by in this life without having all those things happen to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. You hear people all the time saying, I just don't understand. I don't understand. You're not supposed to lean unto your own understanding, are you?
No.
Okay, then don't say I don't understand, because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to have faith. Amen?
Amen.
I don't understand. I'm so sick and tired of saying I don't understand. When the Lord clearly says, don't lean on your own understanding. Just receive the gospel as it is. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't understand. It's easy to understand the scriptures, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Understand that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, Father, we ask you to anoint this service and give us, give me the words, whatever it is, Lord, in commentary, and give it all the strength to stay another day and make it pay in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 3, victory over Og of Bashan. King James Version, verse 1. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon.
He's going to do the same thing. Wipe him out. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 3. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. Verse 4. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. Verse 5. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns a great many. Verse 6. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon.
Until here it is, a bunch of slaves destroying these cities. Amen?
Amen.
I don't understand. I don't either, how he did it, but he does it. Amen? I don't understand how he wiped out the whole Egyptian army and turned Egypt upside down, the strongest nation in the world at that time. But he did it, and he does it all the time. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he does for a living. All right? Right?
Right.
Okay, so don't understand it, just believe it. Okay, then what else?
Utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. Verse 7, but all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. Verse 8, and we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon. Verse 9, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call it Shanir. Verse 10, all the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salcah, and Edrei, cities of kingdom of Og in Bashan. Translation, verse 1 through 10. Victory over Og of Bashan. Next we headed for the land of Bashan, where King Og and his army attacked us at Edrei. Verse 2. But the Lord told me, quote, do not be afraid of him, for I have given you victory over Og and his army, giving you his entire land.
And the Lord says for us, don't be afraid, but be very courageous. Don't be afraid. I'm God. Okay? Well, we just don't understand. Well, then read the scripture so that you can understand. He's God and no one can defeat you. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? My people perish because you don't know me as God. Read the scriptures. These scriptures are not a fairy tale. It's not a comic book, you know, it's real. This is the real thing. This is the only real deal in the entire universe. And so God will destroy all your enemies. And he says that no one can harm a hair on your head, but the people perish because of a lack of understand it. They don't read enough of the word of the Lord to understand the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That he, no one can defeat him. Don't you get it? Some people get so bored about being a Christian. For God, how could you be bored when there's no way, if you believe the Lord, that you can lose? Amen?
Amen.
You're losers if you don't believe in the Lord. And that's all these people that are perishing, all the Christians that have perished before. Now, Daniel was in the lion's den. He didn't get eaten by the lion, did he?
No.
But the others did. Why? Because they just didn't understand. Right?
Right.
All right, what else?
Treat him just as you treated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon. Verse 3. So the Lord our God handed King Og and all his people over to us, and we killed them all.
See? Amen.
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 4. We conquered all 60 of his towns, the entire Argob region in his kingdom of Bashan. Verse 5. These were all fortified cities with high walls and barred gates. They also took many unwalled villages at the same time. Verse 6. We completely destroyed the kingdom of Bashan, just as we had destroyed King Sihon of Heshbon. We destroyed all the people in every town.
Yeah, they didn't get destroyed. It says we destroyed. The people of the Lord destroyed them. Amen?
Amen.
And all you got to do is pray in the Lord, then you'll be destroying them because you're getting God to destroy them for you. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to ask. You know that much about the Lord, understand that much about God, is you have to ask. You have to pray. And he says, without ceasing, pray always, he said. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be afraid to pray. Be afraid not to pray. You see all the evil things that are happening in the world. Pray about it so God can love you. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We destroyed all the people in every town we conquered, men, women, and children alike. Verse 7. But we kept all the livestock for ourselves and took plunder from all the towns. Verse 8.
We did that. We did that. They didn't do that to us. We did that to them. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's the truth. Amen? This happened. You still don't understand. Okay, what else?
Verse 8. We now possessed all the land of the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon. Verse 9. Bracket Mount Hermon is called Sirion by the Sidonians. The Amorites called it Sinir. Unbracket. Verse 10. We had now conquered all the cities on the plateau, and all Gilead and Bashan as far as the town of Salakara and Edrei, which was part of Og's kingdom in Bashan.
That's why the Lord says, don't lean on your understanding, because you don't. You got to know God. You got to understand what he thinks and what he does. You know, you're helpless, but you know that God can do everything. Amen?
Amen.
Understand that. Just get to the point where you start understanding from God's viewpoint. If he says that he goes before you to fight for you and protect you, and if you keep his commandments, all diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, all distresses and everything come off of you. Well, you say, well, Paul said he was in distress and all this. Yeah, Paul also circumcised the guy too when he wasn't supposed to, right?
Right.
He didn't know the Bible as well as we do. Amen?
Amen.
See, if he first got saved, man, you know you want to stay away from him. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it.
That's a pretty tall guy, but, he couldn't do anything. Amen?
Amen.
God's taller than that. Amen?
Amen.
He fills the whole universe. 9 feet or 9.5, 10, 12 feet, 15 feet, I don't care how tall he is, all right? 20 feet, 100 feet tall. God's still taller than that. He looms throughout the whole universe, and no one can defeat him. Not all the people joined hand in hand in the world today and in the world tomorrow or before. No one can defeat God. There's no power devised that can defeat him. Then what?
After the cubit of a man. Verse 12. And this land which we possessed at that time, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. Verse 13. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Verse 14. Jair the son of Manasseh took all the country of Argob unto the coasts of Geshurai and Maacathai, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. Verse 15. And I gave Gilead unto Machir. Verse 16. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. Verse 17. The plain also and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Kinnereth even unto the sea of the plain. Even
Kinnereth is the area where Lake Kinnereth is, the same thing as the Sea of Galilee, the same thing as the Sea of Tiberias. They call it all different kinds of names. That really surprised me when I was there. They call it Lake Kinnereth or Lake Galilee. And it's also, I said, well, that's the Sea of Galilee, isn't it? He said, yeah, you can call it that too. I said, well, being it is that the Lord calls it that, that's what I will call it, okay? All right, then what?
Even the Salt Sea under Ashdoth Pisgah eastward. Verse 18. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. Verse 19. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you. Verse 20. Until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall ye return every man unto his possession which I have given you. Translation, verse 11 through 20. Incidentally, King Og of Bashan was the last of the giant Rephaites. His iron bed was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It can still be seen in the Ammonite city of Rabbah.
I've seen little guys have beds bigger than that. They have a bedroom that's got a bed, special made bed, that's maybe 40 feet by 20. And it's like a midget laying on the bed. Okay, then what?
Division of land east of the Jordan. Verse 12. When we took possession of this land, I gave the territory beyond Aroer along the Arnon Gorge, plus half of the hill country of Gilead, with its towns, to the tribes of Reuben and Gad. Verse 13. Then I gave the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, Og's former kingdom, to the half tribe of Manasseh. Bracket, the Argob region of Bashan used to be known as the land of the Rephaites. Verse 14. Jair, a leader from the tribe of Manasseh, acquired the whole Argob region in Bashan, all the way to the borders of the Geshurites and Maacathites. Jair renamed this region after himself, calling it the towns of Jair.
Yeah, a lot of people did that back then because the towns were named after satanic gods, and so they renamed the cities. Those idol worshippers. And the one town is named Zeus, and you know, whatever. And so, yeah, I'm going to go in there and call it Tony, and this city's Alamo. And okay, then what else?
Calling it the towns of Jair as it is still known today, end bracket. Verse 15. I gave Gilead to the clan of Machir. Verse 16. And to the tribes of Reuben and Gad I gave the area extending from Gilead to the middle of the Arnon Gorge, all the way to the Jabbok River, on the Ammonite frontier. Verse 17. They also received the Jordan Valley, including the Jordan River and its eastern banks, all the way from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, with the slopes of Pisgah on the east. Verse 18. At that time I gave this command to the tribes that will live east of the Jordan, quote, although the Lord your God has given you this land as your property, all your fighting men must cross the Jordan, armed and ready to protect your Israelite relatives. Verse 19. Your wives, children, and numerous livestock, however, may stay behind in the town I have given you. Verse 20. When the Lord has given security to the rest of the Israelites, as he has to you, and when they occupy the land the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan River, then you may return here to the land I have given you." Unquote. King James Version, verse 21. "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings."
And that's why Joshua had a lot of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, if you saw God overturn Egypt and drown the whole Egyptian army and do all these wonderful 10 plagues, so on, and kill the firstborn of Egypt and to make cause Pharaoh to cast you out of Egypt, I mean, and open the Red Sea. I mean, who wouldn't have faith? And then to guide you with the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night, who wouldn't believe? And then to go into different areas and destroy kings that are trying to destroy you and whole armies of people, who wouldn't believe God? And why can't we believe God when we read these things? Amen? Enough to know that if he can destroy whole nations, let's go back even further, where he can destroy the whole world of sinners by flood, who wouldn't believe the Lord? And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have faith? Faith comes by reading these things. Amen? This is where faith comes from. So we don't have to, we can't maybe understand it, but, you know, we're not supposed to lean onto our own understanding. Amen? Because our understanding can't perceive the things of the Lord. Because we're carnal, dead like the rest of the world. If we try to lean onto our own understanding, we're going to fall. You have to believe God. We walk not by our own understanding, but by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Faith in God. All right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
"So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest." Verse 22. "Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he
it's
shall..."
The commandment, thou shalt not fear them, or anybody in this world. Don't fear the United Nations. Don't fear all those roaring airplanes and bombs and all this sort of thing. Fear God, keep his commandments, and pray to him. Make, Father God, make them fear us, like you put the dread of all Israel into the hearts of everybody on earth at that time. Lord, put the dread of us in the hearts of all these people that think they're so hot. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
"Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you."
Right. You don't fear them because God is still in power. Amen?
Amen.
And he always will be. So don't fear him. He's in power. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Verse 23. "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying..."
Everybody's a chump but God. Amen?
Amen.
And what was that last statement you just made?
"And I besought the Lord at that time, saying..." Verse 24. "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand."
Oh, yes, dawning on him. Thou hast begun to show me your greatness, though, you know, after all these things. Yeah, it's starting to hit, you know, when he eats an ice cream cone, he stuffs it into his forehead. The dawn hits, all right? Read that again, I can't believe this.
"O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand."
Yes, and he's shown us, too, by his word. Amen?
Amen.
And the things that he's done for us. Amen?
Amen.
And there's more to come. The more faith we have, the more we're going to see. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
"For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might?"
See, he couldn't understand before, but now it's starting to hit him, you know, to just, I understand now. You're who you are and what you can do. You can do everything. Then what?
Verse 25. "I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon." Verse 26. "But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me."
See, Moses begging to go over to the promised land. Okay, I already condemned Moses. He said, no, he won't hear me. He won't let me go over. Then what? It's finally dawning on Moses after 40 years who God is, huh? Okay, then what?
"And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter."
Don't talk about this no more, okay? I see you're not going. I made a decision and I stick by it. Then what else?
Verse 27. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan.
Yeah, get up there, and then after you look at it, die. That's what he's saying to him. Then what?
Verse 28. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see.
Because Joshua was able to know who God was. When he went over there, he says, God can do this, you know, and more. Then what?
Verse 29. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Translation, verse 21 through 29. God forbade Moses to enter the promised land. Verse 21. Quote, at that time I said to Joshua, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. He will do the same to all the kingdoms on the west side of the Jordan. Verse 22.
And now he'll do the same to all the kingdoms on the face of this earth to a righteous person or to a righteous body of people, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That trust in him. Not their own understanding, but they trust in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord your God will fight for you. Unquote. Verse 23. At that time I pleaded with the Lord and said, verse 24, O sovereign Lord, I am your servant. You have only begun to show me your greatness and power. Is there any God in heaven or on earth who can perform such great deeds as yours? Verse 25. Please let me cross the Jordan to see the wonderful land on the other side, the beautiful hill country and the Lebanon mountains. Verse 26. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he would not listen to me. Quote, that's enough, unquote, he ordered. Quote, speak of it no more. Verse 27. You can go to Pisgah Peak and view the land in every direction, but you may not cross the Jordan River. Verse 28.
That's what a lot of people say. Oh, please, God, now we know you're right. We understand now, Lord, that you do all these things, but they're going to be out of their bodies. But please let us go into the kingdom of heaven. He says, don't even talk about it. What you did in your body, you did. Now go into everlasting darkness, into the pit of hell, and then into the lake of fire. Don't be like that. Receive the Lord now and live. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
But commission Joshua and encourage him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan. He will give them the land you now see before you, unquote. Verse 29. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, and now I've got some commentary.
3, verse 1 through 3. A repetition of Numbers 21, verse 33 through 35. 3, verse 17. Kinnereth is a city on the Sea of Kinnereth, or the Sea of Galilee. The Salt Sea is the Dead Sea. 3, verse 18 through 22. Joshua later quotes this passage to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh as a reminder of their responsibility to the tribes west of the Jordan. They ardently obeyed. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. 3, verse 1 through 2. These Israelites' resources were pitifully limited, but God gave them victory. It was not by their military strength, but by God's power that they overcame the nation of Bashan.
All the nations, Egypt, Bashan, everyone. That he nailed Gog, and he's going to nail Gog and Magog, Russia, Moscow, the United Nations, everybody. He's going to nail every evil sinner, okay? He's going to overthrow the entire earth. He's going to move the earth off of its axis. It's going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Stars are going to be falling out of heaven. Meteorites are going to be coming down. One of them big enough to cause a tidal wave 1,500 feet that'll rush over half the United States of America. I mean, God is God. Amen?
Amen.
And there is nothing that is impossible for him to do except three things. He can't lie. He can't die, and he can't fail. Everything that he says he's going to do, he's doing it. He's already done it and doing it. Every man's a liar, but not God. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone's going to die, but not him. and his people are never going to die. Then what?
As we fit pieces of our life back together.
Now, you might not understand that. You just don't understand. But no, don't try to. Just have faith in what he says. It's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
You don't understand how a rocket goes up the moon, but you believe that, right? You don't understand. Well, then have the same kind of faith in the Lord. Even more so, because God has been to the moon and back and all to every planet. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, he's the one that made them. All right? So have more faith in him than these people that went to the moon. All right, then what else?
As we fit pieces of our life back together, we'll find out that it was God's resources, not ours, that will bring success. Our powerlessness in life provides a wonderful opportunity for God to demonstrate his power. 3 verse 12 through 20. Three of the Israelite tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, wanted land on the east side of the Jordan River, just outside the Promised Land. God allowed them to do this, but he also demanded that they follow through on the promises to fight in the conquest of Canaan. The other tribes had counted on their support, and their failure to help in the conquest might have created deep division within God's chosen nation. An important step in growing up in the Lord is learning that every man counts, that we all need to take the responsibility for our promises and decisions. Everyone really has to go to church to support the church service, because the church service is to destroy the works of Satan and to exalt the kingdom of God. This is important as we seek to reconcile ourselves to God and build the kingdom of heaven and maintain our relationships with God and with others as well. If those 2.5 tribes were not willing to help the others, then there would be no good relationships with them.
Not only that, they probably would never have survived. It takes the whole body of Christ to do the work of the Lord. All right? So everybody has to do their part. Then what?
3 verse 23 through 29. Even Moses was not exempt from God's judgment, God's requirements. Moses begged to be able to go to the Promised Land, and the Lord said he didn't want to hear of it anymore, that he wasn't going to let him go, but that he would let him view the Canaan land from Mount Pisgah. As great as Moses was, God's commands still applied to him.
His command, there's no respecter of persons with him. If you get out of order, you're in for it. You stand judgment for it. So that's why we learn from Moses' mistake. You know, we learn from the mistakes of others. We learn not to do what they did. That's what we learn to do, amen?
Amen?
We can learn from their mistakes. Then what else?
We must never presume to be, quote, a special case, unquote. It must never be presumed to be, quote, a special case, a special person, that doesn't have to keep the commandments, that we won't be cursed just like everyone else. We must not try to rationalize the truth and excuse ourselves from God's program as to what sin will do to us. We must live according to holy living. Rather, we must seek out and then joyfully accept God's program for us. His plans are always in our best interest, even if they are not what we expect or want. What we want or what we think we should expect will destroy us in many cases.
Okay, praise the Lord. That was Deuteronomy chapter 3. And now I believe we have more faith in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because we gain faith by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is the Word, and we see that he does whatever he says he will do. And he'll curse you if you don't believe, and those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. That follows right through in the New Testament. So that's part of the law, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the whole Word of God. He is the Almighty God. He said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Almighty God. So don't say that Jesus doesn't say he's God. And he says it many, many other times in the New Testament. He makes himself equal with God because he said he is the Son of God. and that anything that God tells him to do, he can do, and everything that God, and that concludes every miracle that he ever did. He said, the miracles are not my own. I see the Father work, and then I work. Amen?
Amen.
So, more faith and less of our own understanding comes from this. This is a great message. Amen?
Amen.
And so, keep our minds on that all the time. Should give us the power to stand another day. Amen?
Amen.
Because sufficient is the evil of this day, so much so that we don't want to think about tomorrow's evil. Just take care of the evil today. Because you don't know that you're going to be around to take care of the evil for tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
And even so, you're not going to do it. If you have faith in God, God will take care of it. Right? All kinds of fiery arrows come at us, but we just stand fast and in defense of the gospel and receive what the Lord says. No need for me to say, God bless you, because I know he is if you're doing everything that he says and if you're trusting in him. If you have faith, trust. And if you're doing the things that he says to do, that shows that you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works, James said. Well, until chapter 4, God willing, we do 4 this evening. Until then, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.